of what is going on in this story. And maybe you can point out the root, the shoot, and the fruit. Genesis chapter 37. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. Notice that. His father was a stranger. Did it talk about Isaac being a stranger in this land? I thought about that when I read that first verse. Isaac was born in this land, but yet he was still a stranger. That's interesting. Verse 2. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood around about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. In other words, they bowed to it. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun, moon, and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. 11 stars, that's also interesting. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, Here am I. And he said to him, Go, I pray thee, and see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out to the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, They are departed hence. For I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say, Some evil beast has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands, to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come to his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned to the pit, And behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes, and he returned unto his brethren, and said, The child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat, and killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father, and said, This we have found, know now whether it be of thy son's coat or no. And he knew it, and he said, It is my son's coat, an evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes, and put sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. I want to read that chapter so we would know what we're dealing with here. In the Bible, we read of many cases of bitterness and hatred. From the very beginning, we know the story of Cain and Abel. There was bitterness between those two brothers. Many times this bitterness is attributed to a religious jealousy, and many times family is involved. In some instances, it springs up from envy or even covetousness. But when we're looking here at this story of Joseph, let's look at it from another perspective, from the perspective of the brothers. We like to look at Joseph. This time we're just going to take a look kind of at their brothers and what happened here. What happened? We're going to see that they were mischievous and hateful. But they were the tribes of Israel. They were the ones that the tribes of Israel were named after. In verses 1 and 2, we find out that Joseph is only 17 years old. He's just a youngster. Coming into manhood, of course, but he's still young enough that his father trusts him to take care of the business and to look over and look after his flocks and his the things that he has. He was with his brothers here in verses 1 and 2, but not with the sons of Leah. Now, girls back here had something that they were showing everybody, all the different sons of Jacob. And so the ones that were not there was probably Reuben, Judah, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin hadn't been born yet. So he's probably only with just four of the brothers, I'm thinking, the sons of Zilpah and Bilhah. Now Joseph was close with his father, and he told his father what his brothers were doing. It says it right here in verse 2. It says he brought unto his father their evil report. What does that mean? They were doing something wrong. They were doing something wrong, and Joseph, what do we always say? I've got a little tattletale here. Well, I'm not going to think that of Joseph because we know of his character. We know what Joseph's character was. I don't think there's one point here in the Bible that you can find a place where you can see that Joseph did something wrong. The Bible does not show it. Now, of course, Joseph probably was a sinner like we are, but in many instances we see Joseph's character that he did not wish to sin against God. And being a type of Christ would be, that would be appropriate. See? For the Bible to point us that direction. Now, Jacob favored Joseph, and he made it known. Was this a good thing for Jacob to do? Probably not. It's not good for the relations for the brothers. But we see that a root of bitterness had developed even long before this, the seeds of bitterness between two sisters. And who was that? Jacob's wives, Rachel and Leah. There was a competition. There was a rivalry to produce children for their husband. And they even got their maids involved, Zilpah and Bilhah, in order to try to produce children, because it was a, back then we know that having children, especially men children, was very important to them, very important. It was like part of life. And if they couldn't, it was a great sorrow for them, a great shame. But this rivalry that these two had was not, no doubt, passed on to the children. They saw it. It was part of their lives. There was probably very much a sense of your children versus my children. And anybody that's been in any kind of a family like that, you can understand that. So the seeds of bitterness had been sown. It had already begun long before these children grew up. The disobedient brothers would begin to develop a malice towards Joseph without basis and without reason. Remember, I said there's no point. They didn't show that in the Bible. It does not say that Joseph committed any sin here. You see, that's the problem. When sin is exposed, when you expose sin, there's anger and there's hatred. And you notice that anytime something is exposed out in this world, just think of our political process. And I'm thinking of all the deceit and debauchery that's going on, and they bring out some of it, and you see some of it on the news, and somebody gets caught doing something. Just for instance, there was a woman senator here not too long ago, I think she's still in the news, that's been accused of having some kind of relation or something that she's not supposed to. But people get angry. They get angry when things like that get exposed because their sin is exposed. And this is what happened here. Joseph was exposing what was going on. I can just imagine. It doesn't tell us what it was, but he goes back and he tells his father, here's what these brethren are doing. Now, remember, too, how old's Joseph here? These are things you read between the lines. How old is Joseph? He's 17. How old are the sons? They've got to be, what, up in their 20s, maybe even in their 30s, and doing things that they're not supposed to be doing. In verses 3 and 4, when a parent shows partiality, there will arise feelings of hurt and bitterness in the other children. And in these verses, we see the shoot of bitterness arising. First, we had the root of bitterness, and now the shoot. Look over in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. Hebrews 12, verse 15. Says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Many were defiled by this bitterness. Many of Joseph's brothers were defiled by the bitterness. It was like a flame. It doesn't say that there was any of them left out. From the oldest to the youngest, they all developed a root of bitterness, and now the shoot was beginning to bud forth. The roots began to shoot out in hatred. Though in the beginning, the brothers would not have, and they didn't probably think about it or considered killing Joseph, but it grew into that, and that's why we call it the shoot. Look in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19. Our pastor just used this not too long ago. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. the things that defile a man come from within the heart. So these brothers were not right in their hearts. Notice the sequence here. The seeds of bitterness in their hearts being taught that jealousy and envy was a natural thing from their mothers. Nobody's without blame here. But their mothers be having that envy towards one another, the jealousy of not being able to produce offspring and things, it passed down to the children. It's something that they noticed. Maybe he didn't teach them that straight out from words, but they noticed it by their lives and the things they did. And that caused the roots to produce the shoots. And we see the last part of verse 4. What does the last part of verse 4 say? And it says, they could not speak peaceably unto him. The sprouts of bitterness were very evident. So Joseph couldn't even talk to his brothers. He'd come up and talk to him and say, hey, how's it going today? They couldn't even say hello without saying something mean or they just couldn't speak peaceably to him. You know, there's a wise old saying, no matter how long you nurse a grudge, it never gets better. In Joseph's brother's case, it would only get worse. And it did. It would. But there's more to see here. There's more to see here. The shoots of bitterness, now apparent, did not stem just from their mother's rivalry and their father's favoritism being shown, but also the fact that Joseph was a righteous person. And like I said before, we see this in Joseph's character and the rest of the story of Joseph all the way through him being king. Now, I think that he was a little bit mischievous in how he treated his brothers, but I think they had it coming. The whole story there of them having the money put back in their sacks as they left and things, but still, he got his point across. But several times the Bible records that the brothers were doing things that were sinful or wicked. Even like this first time we saw here, he brought his father the evil report. But did you notice here when Jacob sent him to go check on the brothers in Shechem? Did you notice that? He was wandering around in the field, and the guy comes and says, what are you doing? Well, what field was he wandering around in? He was wandering around in the field where the brothers were supposed to be. They weren't there. Where did they go? They went to Dothan, to the city. To do what? They were doing something wrong. They were supposed to be there tending the flocks, and they weren't. They were off. Who knows what they were doing in the city? And so Joseph did not want that getting back to their father as well. But we see that Joseph's life was that of a righteous young man. But Joseph didn't go with the flow. He didn't go with them and do what they were doing. You know, this world does not like people who are different, who stand up and do things that God wants them to do. If you are a Christian, if you're doing what God wants you to do, you're going to have a hard time. There are going to be people that make fun of you. There are going to be people that mock you. And it will test you, because a lot of the people, maybe you respect them. Maybe it's hurtful for them to be... You think of them as friends, and then they turn on you because of your Christian stance. I mean, just a little taste, just a small portion taste of something like that is if you, and I'm going way off here, but if you're a fan of President Trump, and you talk to somebody who is a, what do we call it, quote, Trump hater, you can't understand what in the world their problem is, but you might agree on a lot of other things, but when you start talking about that, they'll turn on and tear into you. But they might be a friend. But when it comes to being a Christian and talking to people about the Lord, things that are sinful in their lives, that they don't want them exposed, they don't want to hear about God, and they will turn you off completely, even if you're a good friend. And so you need to understand that if you're a Christian, you're going to have troubles in this world because you're not going to want to go with the flow. The Lord doesn't tell us to go down the broad path. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life eternal. It's not the way of destruction. The way of destruction is wide. It's open, and everybody seems to be flowing that way. And don't get caught up in that flow. Joseph didn't. He stood up. He stood up for God. Well, we need to have a life that's pleasing to Him rather than that which is popular with the world. And it will garner hatred. Even those who are perhaps even closest to you. And you know, got to make a point about this. Well, I'll make that point in a little bit because I know I have it in my notes here. But it has to do with family. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. You know, I get so out of sync when looking in the Bible as the actual book, because if you get on the computer and you're doing it on online, it's so easy to just type in and you're right there, just like that, but looking for it on the pages. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. For the time past of your life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. You ever have that happen? Oh, you're not going to come to the party? What's wrong with you? You know, you're not going to have a few beers with us? What's wrong with you? We're just going down to the club. You can't just come. No, I don't want to be in a place like that. And so they'll speak evil of you. And that's what they did with Joseph here. But there was a bitterness. There was a bitterness because of that, because of Joseph being the righteous person that he was. Too many Christians today are going with the flow these days. But Joseph was different. And we should be different. Jesus has told us, you're a peculiar people. We're different people. We don't need to be going with the flow. We don't need to look like the world or act like the world, talk like the world, anything. And then the fruit of bitterness. The evil and wickedness of Joseph's brothers' lives, those things led to full-blown fruits, even contemplating murder. They planned it. Look in verse 18 of Genesis 37 here. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. They now considering murder. That's the fruit. You see the root, you see the shoot, and then the fruit. You know, it's been said that hating someone is like burning down your house to get rid of a rat. The brothers were willing to commit murder rather than to look into their own wicked hearts and change. You know, I can't help but a whole time that I'm thinking about Joseph's life and his brothers and how they treated him, and comparing that to Jesus' life and the Israelites and how they treated him when he lived on the earth, and how that they were his brethren, and yet they turned on him. And then the difference is they did not slay Joseph. Joseph could not do anything right in these brothers' eyes. Now, in those days, when a person, a godly person especially, had a dream and it was meaningful, there was deliberation and there was concern. There was a listening to it. Remember Jacob's dream? We were just talking about this. He laid down on a pillow. He didn't have no pillow, did he? He had a rock. He laid his head down on a rock and he had a dream. And there are those that listen to the dream. Well, Joseph had a dream, but they didn't even consider his dream. All they wanted to do was mock it. And they wanted to kill him for it. They hated him even more when he told them his dream. But isn't it interesting when we read how he told his dream and everything, how we can look at it because we already know the story. We're like, ah-ha-ha, you will be bowing to Joseph one of these days. Literally. And they did when they went down. And so it is so interesting. Joseph didn't come out, though, according to God's word. Joseph didn't. I don't know whether he said it or not. Hey, remember my dream? Remember my dream when I dreamed that you guys... This is the fulfillment of the dream. Did they notice it? Did they realize they were bowing to Joseph? And then, of course, one day, it says, they'll look on him whom they pierced. And the nation of Israel will bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ one day. Though they recognize him not now, one day they will, they all will. So even a prophetic vision from God would not tone down these brothers' hatred, their envy, and their jealousy. Now, this is what I was going to get to here. Have you noticed that these evils that we're speaking of are primarily committed in families? You don't normally have people coming after you and being so bitter and hateful to you from somewhere outside. It's usually some type of... How many people have had problems in their families where there's been bitterness, hatefulness? Man, we look at the news and we even see murder. And it's family related. Now you'll see a lot of things evil going on in the world from strangers against strangers, but by and large, this is what I see. Even in my young life, I saw when my parents were saved, it put a rift between them and the rest of my family, and they did not come, and we did not see them much anymore. But they did not want to be around those people of that way, as it were. It's usually relatives or close kin that cause these problems. And they test our Christianity. They test our faith, isn't it? Or somehow is it that family doesn't count when sin is at the door? Can you allow yourself to get angry and say things that you should not say because it's family and it's not some stranger? And no. This tests our faith because family is the closest thing. The older I get, the more that I grow, I realize that it's family that most of these things show up in. And this is what happened here. Joseph didn't get into all the problems that he had with some strangers from the outside. It was from his brothers, from his own family, from his own kin. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. If his brothers would have done so, they wouldn't have had the problems that they had, but there's another side to this coin. And turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Did I already use that one? Hebrews 12 and verse 15? I think I did. But we'll read it again because it's important. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. It says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Is that possible? If it wasn't written here, we wouldn't have it if it wasn't written here. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Yes, and like we said, many were defiled. Bitterness. For whatever reason. And we have some good ones, don't we? It does not pay. It's like an acid. It damages that which is stored in. It damages that which is poured out on. Bitterness. A root of bitterness. It's been told about two shop owners who were bitter rivals. I'll try to get this right. And the bitterness went on for many years. One night, an angel visited one of the shop owners in a dream. And he said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you a blessing. Whatever it is that you would like, whether you'd like long life, health, wealth, but know this, whatever blessing that I bless you with, your rival across the street there is going to get a double blessing. So he thought about it for a long time. And he said to the angel, finally said, I'd like for you to strike me half blind. That kind of bitterness. Did you get it? So it would cause the other guy to be completely blind. Well, that kind of bitterness, it just doesn't pay. Like I said, it's like the acid that just eats away at you. Let us not have roots of bitterness from this. Roots lead to shoots, and shoots lead to fruits. We don't want to be guilty of the fruit of bitterness. But our story of Joseph has a much happier ending. What happens with us, as with Joseph, is all under God's control. God is in control. And my favorite saying that Joseph had for his brothers, you meant it for evil. And they did. But God meant it for good. All right. That's all that I have today. So, Brother Bourne.
Words.